Welcome to the podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Katie. And this is
One Kiss Means Forever.
This is the podcast where we take tales as old as time and set them to our favorite foods and also celebrate days that are fun with numbers. Anyway, we are talking about your favorite made-for-TV romances, the kinds that you find all over the map, mostly Hallmark, some for Netflix. And where did we find this one today?
This is an ABC Family airing.
Sweet.
Yes. So, first of all, I just want to say, this is not a Beauty and the Beast rendition.
No, this is, yes, tale as old as time. For me, there's many tales, but we've got a Romeo and Juliet spinoff.
Yes, and it is Pi Day.
Pi Day!
314! So, 3.14. So, we obviously needed to talk about pi in some capacity, and we were underwhelmed with our options on
sweet pies.
So we are talking about pizza pies.
Hey.
So today we are talking about a movie called Pizza My Heart, which aired on July 24th, 2005, again on ABC Family. And this is the little blurb. Because of an old family feud, the Prestolanis and the Montebellos have taken to extremes. They're fighting over who truly has the best pizza. The situation is about to come to a head when Joe Montebello meets Gina Prestolani, and they begin a secret romance. And it stars Sherry Appleby and Eyal Padel. I think that's how you say that.
Yes. All right. So, Gina Prestolani, played by Sherry Appleby, returns home after graduating from college to Verona, New Jersey. Yes, it is a real place, although I don't think this is the real Verona that we're in. She is an aspiring photographer, but her family is hard to say no to. They own a pizza place in town that is better than the best. That is because the best pizza in town is by the Montebellos, owned by a family who the Prestolanis have been feuding with since way back in Italy. It is a pizza-centric feud. Story says that a Prestolani invented pizza, but a Montebello stole the idea and delivered it to the queen first.
I have so many questions.
Yep.
Joe Montebello, played by Eyal Padel, runs into Gina at the train station on his way to play cards with his chef buddies in New York City. They do not recognize each other and so immediately catch the feels, not realizing how forbidden a romance between them would be. It is not until late that night when Joe returns home and is picking lemons off the family lemon tree at the exact moment that Gina has climbed a ladder to grab a balloon that has drifted into the tree from her graduation party that they discover the last name of the cuties they met earlier that day.
Even though they have had a rivalry for what seems like centuries, the Prestolanis and Montebellos have restaurants next door to each other that share an electrical box. Because it straddles their properties and neither wants to give anything to the other, they will not upgrade it. This means that if either restaurant turns on too many appliances, literal sparks fly and power is lost. When Gina's graduation party gets a bit too loud, Joe's father kills the power in retribution.
Gina's family, or more specifically her father, has decided that Gina is going to come home, help out in the restaurant, become a preschool teacher, and marry her high school boyfriend who now manages the restaurant. Gina wants none of that, but has a hard time telling her dad no. Gina hasn't really seen this boyfriend, Carlo, who she clearly considers an ex, for years, but he also seems like on board with this plan to get married and that they're together. Again, so many questions. Which is too bad for Annette, Gina's sister, who is secretly in love with Carlo and has been maybe forever.
Joe has set up an investor to come try the Montebello pizza at the Feast of San Gennaro. It's basically a church festival. There's one in New York. It's pretty fun. A lot of fried food. Beware. But the investor finds Gina, who directs him to the Prestolani booth, not knowing who he is. Carlo has decided to propose to Gina, but Gina spies Joe in the crowd and gets distracted, sending Annette to meet with Carlo in her place. Gina and Joe decide to meet up and try each other's pizza, basically have a date. At the end of the festival, both restaurants, in trying to one-up each other, have too many pies left over and have to stash over 100 pizza boxes in their restaurant back gardens.
Such a waste of food, because I think there's still pizza in there.
There is definitely still pizza in there, because they pick them up to deliver later. Which, food safety, and also how many homeless people are probably in New Jersey.
Thank you.
Yes.
The following night, Gina takes the night off to go to the city with Joe. They go to his friend's restaurant, where he cooks for her in a way that he isn't able to at Montebello's. She takes pictures freely, you know, super happy. They have a wonderful night, and she gets him a watch to commemorate it. They kissed in front of the restaurant and again in front of their family restaurants when they return home. But Annette, having followed Gina to the train station earlier and seen her with Joe, has ratted her out, and the families catch them kissing.
Wow. Both Joe and Gina are depressed as their families are forcing them apart. But then the investor calls Joe, and Joe realizes that the investor had the wrong pizza because of Gina. Thinking that Gina betrayed him, he storms over to her restaurant and gives back the watch. Gina tries to talk to him, but he won't listen. It doesn't help that the investor now wants to try both pizzerias, but only franchise one.
First, the Montebellos sabotage the tasting at Prestolani's by setting mice loose in the restaurant. Then the Prestolani's kill the power at Montebello's. It gets bad enough that the investor makes them meet on neutral ground, which is the church, to talk. He gives them a week to each make their pizzas better, and then he'll pick one. Though why he'd want to work with either family at this point is really beyond me. Because
so true.
Like, it'd be like, no, I'm out. Nothing is this good.
You guys are a liability. Gina's father asks her to choose between her family and Joe. Gina meets up with Joe in the park and, after relaying this to him, tells him that she picks him. He's real happy. And they decide to run away together. I think the whole, like, he's forgiven her for the misunderstanding, even though that's never really addressed.
Yeah.
While packing, Gina finds Annette's secret Carlo picture, the one that she looks at in the frame and looks wistfully at. And Gina leaves a note for Annette that says, go for it. Joe gets them a place to stay in exchange for some of his famous lemons, so they have to swing by the restaurant to pick some up.
Annette finds the note and declares herself to Carlo. They kiss, and he realizes that she is the right sister for him. They lock up the restaurant for the night and leave, but the balloons that Gina never got out of the tree drift, hit the electrical box, cause a spark, which ignites the pizza boxes, and catch fire. And so Prestolani's backyard and then subsequent restaurant are inflamed.
Yes. When Joe and Gina arrive for the lemons, they find her family restaurant ablaze. The hose won't work, and neither does the fire extinguisher. How do these restaurants pass, like, any health and safety tests? I have no idea. But while Joe is trying to put out the fire on the Prestolani side, an electrical cable falls and sets the Montebello side alight as well. So Joe and Gina have to climb the wall and hide in the lemon tree away from the fire.
The parents are being held in the church by the priest, who is trying to help Joe and Gina run away. So they are together when they get the call about the fire. They rush over and find both restaurants destroyed and no sign of Joe or Gina. Heartbroken, they decide to bury the hatchet. And they go inside and are able to find Joe and Gina basically instantly in a tree, even though I think the firefighters couldn't find them.
Right. 100% correct.
They have shared the family secrets with each other while they, you know, waited out the fire? What the fuck is happening? In a tree, and they have come up with a plan.
6 months later, The families, headed by Joe and Gina, open Prestobello's in the West Village of New York City, combining the specialty of the Montebello sauce with the specialty of the Prestolani cheeses that they have imported from some secret places. The investor is franchising it out to other cities, starting with San Francisco, which now Carlo will manage. Gina has a gallery show of her photographs, and Joe gets to cook as he wants. And since
one kiss means forever,
everyone is going to stay together and happy in this story of Gina and her Joe. Not a story of woe.
Whew. Okay. I don't even know where to start.
So I have a quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
When at the very beginning,
uh-huh,
when Gina and Joe bump into each other at the train station, it is as if they do not know each other.
Correct.
But then we're meant to believe that they have known each other their whole lives. But are we supposed to think that they haven't seen each other since they were 10? And how is that possible if they lived across the way?
I think that we're supposed to think that she really hasn't been home. Like maybe she didn't come home for summers,
okay,
or whatever.
So he just doesn't recognize her out of context.
And I guess she doesn't recognize him out of context. Like, I guess they both, like, drastically changed over 4 years in a way that doesn't seem that plausible to me. But of all the things in this, that one I'm sort of willing to buy.
What do you want to return, Hannah?
Okay. I mean, the biggest one for me is this feud.
Yes, please. Let's talk about it.
I mean, okay. I get, we're deciding in this world that one family came up with pizza and the other one came up with delivery, I think. And I'm like, I don't think pizza and delivery went together that early. I don't think that was a thing.
And it wasn't in Verona.
And right. It's a southern dish, right?
I believe Naples is where they, yeah. At least Naples takes credit for pizza. Yeah.
Right. Southern. So I find that a bananas reason to have a feud. But then, okay, these two families, they're feuding, they hate each other, and have managed to come from Italy. We know they stopped over in Brooklyn. They tell us that and then end up in New Jersey, all next door to each other.
Yeah.
Like, if you hate these people, just don't move with them. What are you doing?
You know what I secretly wanted to have happen? I wanted there to be like a Grace and Frankie sort of twist where either the dads or the moms were in love with each other, and that's why they moved in next door.
I mean, yeah, except like this is genuinely like you're getting frescoes of these pizzas. Like this is, I think this is supposed to be like 4, 5, 6 generations. Like, it's so long ago.
That fresco made me laugh. I was like, is this, are we meant to think this is some, like, ancient painting that depicting this moment in history? Or did you just do this as a cartoon, as a goof?
I don't, like, it's so weird. It's such a, like, it's so hard to buy. Because also, the other thing about all of this is that they're like a hop, skip, and a jump from New York City.
Yeah.
Nobody's coming to fucking Verona, New Jersey for pizza.
And Verona is actually not that. Have you ever been to Verona?
I've never been to Verona.
No. I used to go to Verona often because I did children's theater, and that's where our space was. Our rehearsal space and office space was in Verona, New Jersey. So I often would take the bus to Verona. I think I remember it taking about 40 minutes once you're on the bus. So the fact that Investor Man takes a cab from like Greenwich Village to Verona, that's going to cost them a lot of money.
I believe he would do that.
Oh, gross.
That doesn't, I mean, it's, yes, but I believe he would do that.
But yeah, it's not that close to New York, so it's not like you're just hopping on the PATH train. It's
not PATH train, but it's also not like it's not a food destination.
No.
And it's close enough to a food destination that it wouldn't register.
Absolutely. But to the people of Verona.
Oh yeah, no, you need your pizza places everywhere. I totally get, like, you're not going to franchise Verona.
No, it's true. The fact that they're like, it's well known from the beginning that it's the Montebello sauce that's the thing. And then so it takes a while for us to find out what's so great about the Prestolanis. We find out it's their combination of cheeses. And for my money, I feel like the Montebello having better sauce is probably the better bet because you have a recipe and ultimately ingredients don't change. But where you import cheeses from can change. The cows can change. Import laws change. Businesses die. But, you know, there will always be tomatoes and garlic. Like,
yeah.
I kind of wish that they had like the dough or something. Like there was a special way they made the dough that was like amazing rather than the cheeses.
I hear that completely. But like, okay, they remade this movie even though they didn't officially remake this movie, but it's genuinely the exact same movie where they made it with Hayden Christensen and Emma Roberts.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Same. It's Romeo and Juliet. It's a feud. It's what's it called? Little Italy? And it takes place in Little Italy, Canada?
Aww.
It's one of, like, but it is, like, you know, they are feuding, but one of them has, like, the good sauce and one of them has the good cheese, I guess. I don't remember all the details, but then they, like, they're doing, like, a competition, and to, like, get everybody to shut up, they switch the sauce people switch out their sauce with like they swap sauces, so one pizza is clearly better, so that, you know, the one they're in love with can win. It's basically this movie. Weirdly, I mean, this one is more enjoyable. Weirdly,
I believe it.
Because I guess it's just that much more bananas. But
but the fact that they didn't make this connection before and go, hey, you, we have amazing pieces. Let's get, I mean, I know they're in a family feud, and men are stupid. But like the fact that they didn't see the business opportunity of combining their things generations ago. And also, I want them to be making their own cheeses. If they had made their own cheese, I'd been like, okay, great.
Yeah.
Because that's an art form.
Here's the other thing is we also find out that they've never tried each other's pizza.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't believe – because first of all, these two people don't have the, like, feud in their bones the same way. Like, it's clearly a dad thing.
Sure.
And, like, you're telling me that nobody went to a birthday party where they served the other pizza?
That is a good point.
I just don't believe you.
Like, we're not friends with people who have the Montebello pizzas at their parties.
Right. Like, I was just like, I just don't know when I buy it.
And when the church has a function, who do they ask?
Right.
Which family?
Or, like, the pizza that gets ordered for, like, you know, your school pizza party.
Yeah. Domino's.
Like, I just don't. Wait. Are we going, like, really, really, like, no, we're not getting local pizza. We're getting franchise pizza.
I mean, I work in after schools for New York City, and we use Domino's because they accept the fact that not-for-profits can't pay very quickly. Have to pay in certain ways. So because they're big business, it's easier for us to pay our bill.
Sure.
Which is stupid because it's New York City.
Right. I mean, there are things like that, sure. But, like, I just, you know. Verona is, I think, a township, technically.
Oh, wow.
You know, like, it's not even, like, it's small. I bet you could get a pizza party for the entire elementary school for, like, $1,000.
Oh, wow, yeah.
You know, that's all I'm saying. It's like, I don't know. Whatever. Okay, so I have a few other things that I would like to touch on. So, first of all, I would like to discuss the casting of this movie.
Okay.
Because we have these two Italian lovers, played by Such clear Jews.
Yeah. I love that.
You're not Italian. You are Jewish. Your names are Jewish. You look Jewish. You're Jewish.
I mean, and you know, there are Jewish people in Italy, but they are very clearly Catholic because we go to their church a lot in this movie.
And she wears a cross.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. So cute.
Yeah. So I just want to discuss that. I also want to discuss Carlo.
Yeah, let's do it.
Because he confuses me. Because I got the impression, tell me if you feel this way, that even though he believes he's going to marry Gina when she comes home, he hasn't actually, like, kept in touch with her while she was at college.
No. No, from what I could gather, it was sort of that, like, I think she didn't really want to break up with Carlo, so she says, while we're in college, let's just not, you know, we'll go our separate ways, thinking that after 4 years, they'd just whatever. But maybe he's just held a torch for her this whole time, waiting. I have no idea. He's a bit of a doofus.
He's very dumb.
Yeah.
Like, I would not trust him to manage a restaurant. I don't know why anybody is doing it.
He's a hard worker and he's loyal.
Like, he is loyal.
You know?
Completely. I agree. But he is not very smart. Like, he keeps putting rings in food.
I mean, that is a trope, though, which I did not add to Hallmarks because it's not always in a Hallmark movie. But have you ever seen, and I hate to say this because it's a director that is awful, but I still like their movies. I don't. Anyway, it's a Woody Allen movie.
Okay. I figured that based on where we were going.
Right. And it's a Woody Allen musical. And it's very charming. It's called Everyone Says I Love You. I used to love this movie. The cast is great. But Edward Norton keeps trying to propose to Drew Barrymore, and he keeps putting her the ring in food, and she keeps swallowing it. So it happens like 3 times in the movie. this is what it made me think of. That thank God they didn't swallow it.
Yeah, that's true. But like, he feels dumb to me. The last thing that I have is, or actually I have two.
Okay.
There's a very weird situation. I'm trying to remember exactly how it worked out. There's a scene in which Joe forgives Gina by like jumping over the wall and they talk in the backyard area of Prestolani's.
Yeah.
And the following scene, or like 2 scenes later, she goes to talk to her dad about wanting to explain what happened with Joe and that she like doesn't want to have to choose. And it doesn't really work, but it feels like it should have been a swapped order.
I don't know, because where I got confused was because I feel like at that point, Joe is mad at Gina. You know, like he's made up this thing where he's like, how dare she betray me, but never really talks to her about it that we see. But it's Joe that ends up coming around. It's not like he just decides because of something that his brother said about a tomato growing in the garden next, whatever. So if she's going to her dad talking about being with Joe, I feel like that scene has to happen. They have to reconcile before that happens. You know what I mean?
I mean, I see that. I while watching it, I was like, this feels really like she also like was, I think, was trying to explain that she like didn't want to be with Carlo and she didn't want to be a teacher.
Mm.
Like it was like a whole thing. And like, I almost felt like it didn't really matter at that point. Like it was her trying to say like, you can't control my life. So it like almost was like, you don't have to be with Joe. I guess what it is that we get Joe jumping over the wall, forgiving her. She goes to her dad, and they have this sort of non-talk, at the end of which dad says, basically, us or Joe. And then she goes to Joe and is like, he said us or Joe, or us or you, and I pick you, so you're my family. guess it's like, you better be fucking marrying me. Like, I don't really know. Like, it was like...
Well, I think they both are on that same page, because there's this one line when they come back from their date in the restaurant or whatever, and he goes, or he kisses her and he goes, this might be the last first kiss we ever have.
Right.
And she's like, aw, which is a very aw line. So I think that's the direction he's thinking, is you're going to be my one kiss means forever for sure.
But it was very quick and very like, okay.
Yeah.
This is... We've gotten here.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Giving up my family for you.
Yeah.
Just like the source material. I have one thing that I want to touch on that made me so mad. It didn't make me mad. But so when Joe is trying to get Gina to forgive him about not trusting her or whatever, he brings over balsamic vinegar. Because he says balsamic vinegar heals everything. And actually that's why it's called balsamic vinegar, because it's a balm. And I was like, that's not true. And I looked it up and it is. And I was so mad about that, because I always thought of it being like balsam, like, you know, the tree or something. There's like a whatever, or root. Yeah, I have no idea.
I've never thought about it. So.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. It's sometimes these things cross my mind, but I did look it up and it comes from like, it takes a little bit of translation, but eventually it does come from the word for relief or balm or whatever. And I was like, if they don't put balsamic vinegar in their pizza when, like, or drizzle it on top, I feel like, what was the fucking point? Other than the fact that this person found out what this word means and they need to put it in their movie.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what happened. Yeah. But I would... That doesn't bother me as much, mostly because I feel like, okay, maybe they don't put balsamic vinegar drizzled on their pizza or whatever, but I bet you Joe does when he's allowed to cook the way he wants to.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, like, because he's a trained chef.
Sure.
He went to the CIA, the Culinary Institute of America.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. My just last little thing is, if you were to open a franchise restaurant, so first of all, they open this restaurant at the end. It's like opening day. They've already decided to franchise it. We have no idea, like, if people are going to like it, which seems like a ballsy move. Mm-hmm. And they decide to open it in San Francisco. Like, I'm like, okay, like, you have New York. People in New York have it. Like, I don't know. Go to Boston, sure. Philly. Like, why are you going so far?
Yeah, it was like San Francisco and Miami or something were, like, the two places they were going. And the thing that what I thought was bonkers about that was, like, Carlo and Annette are, like, back from some kind of vacation together. I don't think it's a honeymoon. I don't think I saw a ring. But then they were like, hey, and guess what? Everyone in the restaurant, even though we haven't talked to him about it yet, we're sending them across the country to manage a restaurant. He's like, okay, great. And I'm like, is it? You have never left Verona.
That's what I thought too. I was like, these people cannot be, they can't leave home. They don't know how to do that yet.
Right? They just went on a Caribbean vacation, but that was vacation. That's not like, right. We're living somewhere new and you're forcing it on us.
No. I also was like, do not send them this far. Like, I would allow you to send them to Philly. Like, that's a reasonable thing. San Francisco was not reasonable. I agree. Yeah.
Shall we?
Hallmark Hallmarks. Let's do it.
We've got the star-crossed lovers.
We have them literally bumping into each other.
And yes, and later they go, you? You! Woo!
And we do get Annette staring wistfully at a photo.
Yeah. She's coming home from the big city, and I guess technically so is he, even though the big city's next door.
Yeah, he comes, well, he lives at home, but goes into the big city because that's where he wants to be. There's a festival.
There is a festival. My parents don't understand my art.
And they know exactly what my life should be, even though that's not what I want.
Yes. We have some really bad New Jersey accents.
The wrong guy for her knows nothing about her, including if she likes certain foods.
True. We have an interrupted kiss.
And a gazebo.
She falls and someone catches her, even though it's not the guy.
That's true. I would argue that he doesn't want to work in the family business, at least as it is.
Oh, yes, I think that. And neither does she, really.
Yes, but she was not being asked to. That's why I'm kind of giving him.
Very good. We have an imminent proposal and stupid ways of proposing.
So stupid. And we have a stupid misunderstanding.
I literally said stupid misunderstanding. That's funny. We did have some sexy cooking time.
Yes. We had a decent amount of sexy cooking time.
Yeah.
I'm already at 6 months later, so go for it.
The only other one I had was a little bit early on, but we were progressing, was someone else is in love with the other guy, which True. Happens. But 6 months yeah. later, this is where we'll go.
I didn't have any pretty parades. This was a 2005 movie, and I felt like it looked it.
Sure. I had an anti. Okay. And that was because when the Prestolanis were making their pizza, they did not put enough sauce on their pizza before they put the cheese on it. And I was horrified because there was like a whole like third of the pizza that was sauceless. And I was like, guys, what are you doing?
I mean, if we want to go into like the what was happening in those kitchens, I like do not eat at either of these places. I feel like nobody washed their hands, let alone anything at all.
Fair. Oh, and they kept licking their spoons and putting it back in the
bag. Right?
Constantly. It was hilarious.
It was so upsetting. Like, across the universe?
Okay. So, I have two that are kind of weird across the universes.
Okay.
So, this is a you know, adaptation of a well-known story. And Dan Hedaya, who was the Montebello dad, was another dad in an adaptation of a well-known story because he was the dad in Clueless. So we've got Emma and Clueless, and this is Romeo and Juliet. But I have one thing that is kind of dumb that I may or may not cut, but Hannah, do you remember that time we were talking about Mannequin?
Yes.
Well, the chef Tommy was portrayed by actor William Ragsdale, who was the lead in the Mannequin sequel, which I was saying was better than the first Mannequin. And we had just been talking about this right before I watched this movie. And I went, hey, it's across our universe. Welcome.
Love it. Love it. So I've already talked about the fact that Little Italy is essentially the same movie, just made probably like 10 years later. The other thing I felt like needed to be shouted out, I don't know if we call this across the universe, but I am calling it that, is that on either side of these pizza restaurants, there is Starcross Travel and Two Gentlemen Realty.
I did not notice that. That's amazing.
And I was like, set designer, you win. And I then, like you.
And then they went on to do Bob's Burgers. That's really cute. I'm glad you caught that.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything for new and noteworthy.
Law and Order, Really Unreal?
Yeah. So we have a segment, we haven't done it in a while, where we talk about some overlaps of other TV shows. And one of a TV show that is that often has Hallmark people on it was a rather dark show on FX called Unreal. So this is our Really Unreal segment because now we have the lead of that show as the lead of our movie, Miss Shiri Appleby. She was the showrunner on that TV show. That was the character. And now she's here, much younger, much more innocent. But she still
right.
has that.
Still baby.
She's a twinkle in her eye, though, where sometimes she has this look where I'm like, I don't know if I know what you're thinking. It's very mysterious.
Fair. Supporting shout out. I would like to shout out Annette because, as I wrote a little note to myself, this lady is committed to this part.
Yes.
And I'm here for it. I'm just like, she is, it's a bananas role that she is doing. It is like what she is asked to portray is crazy pants. And she is like, I will do it.
Yes. Annette is also my supporting shout out. First of all, she is every bit 2005, the quintessential 2005 woman. I agree.
You know what? Actually, this just popped into my head. She looks surprisingly like Lindy Booth does in the
Christmas in Boston.
Christmas in Boston.
You
yeah,
are
like
absolutely
same kind of
right.
haircut, same kind. Yeah,
clothing. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. Really good call. Across the universe. So she's every bit 2005. She's acting the shit out of this part. Like, everything is very, like, and even though she's hitting that accent hard, I first thought she was annoying, but as soon as she said, "Whose sauce have you been tasting?" I thought was hilarious, and she had me for the rest of the movie. Plus, her love story is better.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Kiss meter.
Kiss meter. There's a lot of kisses, but I just kind of blanketed them
sure.
as to one, because that's how I felt about it. I was realizing I was trying to differentiate them, and then I was like, I am giving them all the same score anyway, so sure. what does it matter? I gave them a 6. I said they're fine. The moments are relatively cute, and the kisses are pretty boring.
Yeah. I separated it from like the New York kiss and then the last restaurant kiss, but it was a 6 and a 7. So I'll just say 6.5. I agree. They were not like great. Although the last kiss, I really should knock it down to just a 6 all around, because the last kiss, there was some tongue. And then it was followed by a close-up of Joe's brother saying, "Whoa, dude." And oh. I thought that was disgusting. And I think it was a comment on the kiss. And it was dumb. It took me out of it.
Yeah.
But I agree. Sure. I think that Annette and Carlo's kisses were a little better.
Yeah. So, Katie, would you recommend this movie?
You know, I would. I thought it was really cute, but I would not recommend watching it without pizza in front of you, because I was very hungry and I had no pizza. So, yeah, I had a good time. There's like the families are kooky. I thought it was a fun ride. Why not? How about you, Hannah?
Yeah, I'm with you. I like this is it's stupid. It's bad. It's like objectively, but it. Hit that like bad made for TV movie like spot for me, yeah. and I had a great time watching it.
Beautiful.
So yeah, like it is absolutely bananas. Also, we didn't even talk about the lemons.
Those lemons. I don't know how lemons from Italy survive in New Jersey.
In the backyard of like an industrial.
Yeah.
Like courtyard.
They're still going to taste different.
And right. And are the best lemons ever. What the? No.
I understand if they're like the type of lemon is amazing, but it's not going to taste the same as it would in Italy. I don't care if it was a graft coming that came over from the old country and you plant it and it's thriving. But
yeah.
I do want a lemon tree now. So.
Okay.
I wanted a lemon tree because I buy lemons and they go bad. So I might as well just have a tree.
Yeah. I feel like I buy lemons when I need lemons. I don't tend to, like, they're specific.
But I never have a lemon when I need a lemon. So I, like, buy a couple lemons and then I either use them or I don't.
I am somebody who goes shopping for a recipe often.
Yeah,
so
I'm not.
I need to be. Otherwise, I will buy just, like, bread and cheese, and it's not great. So
fair. It's good to know yourself.
Yeah, I need a plan.
Well, thanks everybody. Happy Pie Day!
Happy Pie Day! Make sure you go get some pizza or some
fruit pie
or some savory pie, even any kind of pie.
Yeah.
Go see Sweeney Todd, I guess. Except not on Broadway because I'm really really angry about it. I haven't seen it. I've just seen the movie, the clips, and Aaron Tveit is wrong.
Okay, fair. You heard it here, folks.
Make sure you're following us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. One kiss means forever. We're the one and the four are numerals. We'll try to live tweet as many of the new movies as we can. I do know we're missing a few of them.
Yeah.
But.
And if you have an amazing sauce recipe from the old country, as I do, I think. We have a sauce recipe from my Italian grandparents.
Lovely.
Anywho, but if you want to share anything with us, you can email us at onekissmeansforever@gmail.com, and that's all spelled out like it is on our logo.
And thanks to Flint Pastures for our intro outro music. His stuff's on Apple Music, Spotify, and SoundCloud. And after this lovely Pi Day, we will see you again at the end of March.
Yay!
In a couple weeks.
Happy
Bye, guys!
Spring!
Spring, yeah, it's going to be like Easter.
Yeah. Where is 2024 going? Actually, 2024 can go. It's fine. March ahead, 2024. Bye.